This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you've joined us today. This is Jonathan McLean, and it's my pleasure to join you from the studio. And we are live in the studio. Karen?
Good morning.
At least we are. Yes. We're missing part of our team.
That's
here
right.
Today. David had a little procedure being done this morning, so he'll catch up with us a little later. We were hopeful maybe he would get finished early enough to come gimping in. You know, so if he's listening, we lift up a prayer for success and restored strength as a result of his little procedure this morning. Well, we're so glad that you have tuned in to 89.9, and I trust that you do this from week to week and you spread the word and let other people know that every week, Wednesday morning, we have a live show, and during this time, we endeavor to bring kingdom news and views, things of interest in the kingdom of God that might be a blessing to you and our listening audience. Sometimes we have authors, we have local leaders from different capacities, we have pastors sometimes from across the nation. And today is going to be another day where we have some guests joining us. I'm looking forward to hearing from Chaplain Dave Thompson. Going to give us a little heads up on some of the prayer movements that are taking place across our state. And so we're going to be talking with Chaplain Dave Thompson. He is the senior staff chaplain in St. Lucie County. Great brother, part of the Treasure Coast Alliance. We thank God for him. And we also are going to be linking up with a guest whose name is Jim Harden. Jim Harden. And Jim Harden is the president and CEO of Compassion Care, and this is from their Buffalo office, and going to be talking a little bit today about what's taken place since Roe versus Wade and the some of the challenges that the pro-life movement is up against, and some of the questions that I have, maybe you have, in regards to this. You know, we're going to talk about this a little later once we have James Harden on air. Karen, we have some mail, and we want to give a couple minutes to address some of that mail. What do you have?
Yes, what I have here is a nice little note from Diane, who's a very faithful,
she is a very
supporter
faithful
of the station.
She
and
is.
We love you, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
And she has a note here. Thanks for doing a great job on WCNO, reaching out to listeners and sharing the gospel. God bless you every single day.
Let me jump in. You know, at this moment, I know you have something else there in reference to bringing the gospel. I have in my hand it's rather a lengthy letter from an inmate that was at the Martin County Jail in Martin County, Florida. And I'm not going to read through all of his letter, but the point that he makes is that he, as well as many of the other inmates, listen pretty much around the clock to WCNO. And he talks about how WCNO is his go-to place for worship, for encouragement. He talks about the chaplains that come in and how important their ministry is, and they brought Bibles into them and such forth. And he is looking forward to the day when he's able to get out and become a part of the solution rather than being a part of the problem. So we want to just say a big thank you to our friend from the Martin County Jail System. And thank you for listening. Keep your radio tuned to 89.9. He did say, as long as they have batteries, they can listen.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they have income like a lot of us do. So they are in a little bit of a challenge of a schedule. But he makes mention of the fact of several different programs they enjoy. But one program in particular he said that he loves is the drama that is on at 11 p.m. And we've had that, what, for about a year now, Karen? Maybe a little more than a year.
I think it's almost a couple of years.
A couple years. And we don't hear a lot about it. I don't know.
No. Maybe. No. I've only received one phone call.
Really?
Someone that says they enjoy listening.
Well, this guy says at 11 p.m., religiously, never fail, my favorite show or audio drama is Lamplighter Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I never fail. I'm always going to be listening to that. So there you go. Maybe some of you are up at 11 o'clock and you hear Lamplighter Theater. If that's a blessing to you, it's good to hear from you and let you know that, you know, you are listening. And, you know, anytime you send a donation to any of the programs that are on our station, and we have a number of great programs, but anytime you communicate with them, please make sure you tell them that you are listening to their program on WCNO. Mm-hmm. This is how these programmers decide where they're going to be and whether or not it's making a difference. And so if you are listening and you're blessed by any of our programmers, why not just kind of make it maybe a priority to drop a note to them and say, just want you to know how important it is that you continue to be on WCNO 89.9 in Palm City, Florida, because we get the signal loud and clear. Maybe you're in Palm Beach or Fort Lauderdale, or maybe up in Melbourne, wherever you may be, St. Lucie County somewhere. But that would be beneficial, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to give the name of our friend over at the jail, but we'll just say thank you for surrendering your life to Christ. And so glad that as my wife, she had a poster on the wall back in the days when we were dating. Seems like it was a while ago because we've been married 40-some years, 43 years now. But I remember this poster, and she always loved little pigs and a very clean pig. And you see a pig coming and a pig going, and the message was, Jesus allows U-turns. And so,
That's nice.
So for any of the pigs out there that have had a U-turn, praise be to God. Okay, what else do you have?
Okay, I have a little note here from Janine, who is also a faithful listener. And she said, it sounded like you were lost in a hurricane for a few days. Glad you're back. And as always, God bless.
Well, sounds like we were lost in a hurricane. Well, Karen, you were actually here. I was out of town, and I was getting bits and pieces, and sometimes my phone worked and sometimes it didn't. But exactly what happened here?
Well, Dave was here more than I was.
Okay.
And I just know we were on and off the air intermittently for a couple of days, and it was crazy. And there was no predicting when it was coming in, when it was going off. So I guess there were issues out at the tower that were beyond our control. And so Dave, whatever the one day Dave was here, you know, he assured everybody when it came back on the air, he let everybody know we're still here.
Yeah, we're alive. WCNO didn't disappear.
We are here, but,
right?
You know, just having those different issues.
Well, the engineers that communicated with me in regards to this, as it was kind of happening, they began to send text and phone calls out to me, even though I was traveling. And in essence, there was a power outage issue at the tower. And, of course, we're in Palm City. We broadcast from Palm City to the tower, and then from the tower it's broadcast out to you. And when the power goes off at the tower, then we really do not have any control over that. The backup generators at the tower also went down. There were problems, I understand, with the power coming from FPL. And I don't know if they ran new lines, not sure what all they did. But once the power was restored, apparently from what the engineers were saying, there was not consistent power. And so there were all these power surges. Maybe you've noticed in your home when that happens, the lights flicker and things like that happen. Well, when that happens to us, that means we're off air and on air and off air, and that's not really great for our equipment. Of course, we do have some aging equipment, Karen. It's been, I don't know how long, certainly before my time here, since we have had any major equipment failures, but we do have some repairs that are going to be needed. The engineer said, just get ready, because you have major components that are going to need to be replaced. And these are not inexpensive. He said the one component alone will be $50,000 to $60,000. And then I believe there's another component that's something like $30,000 to $50,000. These are kind of large pieces of equipment that are involved in the station. And it's just upgrades to the technology. So, of course, we will keep you posted as we move ahead with that. We do have some new equipment that we are looking to replace right now, because we do have some weakness in some of our equipment just because of age. And so we're working on all of that. We'll keep you posted. But if we're off the air, pray hard for us because we have engineers that know what they're doing, thank God. And then there are those of us in here that are praying they know what they're doing. So together, you know, the Lord brought us back on air. But thank you for your patience. We should say that, right?
Yes. And, you know, one thing that I believe this is a truthful statement, and I will be corrected if I'm wrong, but when you hear the static, that, you know, that steady static,
yes,
that means it's an issue at the tower. When it's just dead, that means it's something going on here at the station.
Yeah, and, you know, equipment can break down, and it does break down. And so when that happens, of course, we jump on it and do everything we can to get things repaired as quickly as possible. But the tower is way out in the boondocks on it.
And it's not easy to get there.
No, it's not. It's not. You really need four-wheel drive to get out to the tower. It's out of town, and it takes a few hours to go out there and come back and, you know, to work on things. But anyhow, thank you for your patience. We appreciate that. And we do have, and Karen, I should say this, that next week, next Tuesday, at 2 p.m., we do have a scheduled reboot of our system. We're going to be talking with the organization that provides a software for our station. So we know already, we will be off the air for a few minutes next week on Tuesday, a little after, around 2 o'clock. And so once we do that reboot, and there's going to just be some general maintenance done, that should be for our good.
Yes, that's right.
So that's going to take place Tuesday next week at about 2 o'clock, and so you can be aware of that. Most of the time we don't know when it's going to happen, it just happens. But at this point we'll be somewhat involved. Did you have any other mail?
I do not, but I did have a something that's going to be coming up on community calendar.
Just okay.
A little note here from First Church of the Nazarene. We'll be having their neighborhood block party.
Oh.
And they're looking, they'd like you to be a partner in their community outreach. And they're going to provide backpacks to students who need assistance in getting school supplies. So they're asking for donations of one or two school supplies that can be, you know, brought to them, and then they're going to have the, like, this block party and give out all these backpacks to the kids. So there'll be more information about that coming on the community calendar.
Okay.
And
excellent.
You can call Robin at 772-465-1622, or you can just call us here and we'll give you that information.
All right. And attention pastors, if you are a senior pastor of a church on the Treasure Coast, there is going to be a life planning seminar for pastors. Chris Fogle, a certified public accountant, will be presenting the information and tools that you need to assure that your spouse and family are able to handle the most important decisions should the Lord take you home. And, you know, that day is going to come for me. And so we all need to be prepared for this. This is for senior pastors. Life Planning Seminar. It includes a light breakfast going to be served. And the host location is Haisley Reception Center, 3015 Okeechobee Road in Fort Pierce, Florida. Space is limited at this event. There's no charge for it. And the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is the sponsor of this event. Again, you can call 772-834-5316 or call the station and we'll get the information to you. Again, a life planning seminar for pastors. So very, very, very important. We'll be talking more about that. And in fact, this hour in part is sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And this is one of those events. I have a note, Karen, you'll immediately recognize this prayer request because it comes to us on an ongoing basis, and we endeavor to continue to pray with this dear brother, and he is asking us to pray for his wife to accept Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And not going to give the names out, but I want to just say that there are many of our listeners that have family members close, maybe a spouse that needs Jesus. This is a gentleman who regularly sends this request in, and we know your wife's name, and we pray for her by name off air. But in Jesus' name, we do lift up this family. We pray for this wife, for her to be loosed from the bondage of Satan, that she would be bound to the grace and mercy and love of God. Father, that you would bring her into your kingdom, have mercy upon her, and strengthen my brother and bless him as he stands in faith over his family for his family's salvation. And we would just say together, and I believe it's appropriate, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to see if I can get our friend on air here. We're going to make a phone call and see if we can connect with Chaplain Dave Thompson. And I do have his number someplace right here in front of me. And so, Karen, maybe while I'm dialing the number, you have a word of wisdom.
Maybe I do. So let's ask the Lord. No, just even as we were just praying for the brother's wife, you know, we do all have family members that need salvation, and we have to pray and not give up.
That's it.
Just keep them in prayer.
Pray and not give up. Pray and not faint, right?
That's right, and keep believing.
Hello?
Let's see if we have Chaplain Thompson. Are you on? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, Jonathan.
Well, you are a blessing to the kingdom of God, Chaplain, and we thank God for you, for your ministry. I understand that you are the senior staff chaplain, St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office. Is that correct?
That's right, Jonathan. I've been here since 2005. It's an amazing work. You know, before COVID, I had close to 200 volunteers.
Wow.
We do services every night, afternoon. We had two spiritual dorms for men and women where we did 20 chapels a week. It's a pretty amazing thing, and lots of networks with our transitional houses. At one point, we had as many as 50. I think we're down to probably about 45, and we do a lot of networking to help some of our inmates not only connect with the transition houses, but also with churches. When they discover Jesus in here, we don't want them to leave them here. We want them to connect.
Amen.
With a community of faith. So, yeah.
That's excellent. Well, Dave, I am blessed to serve with you and some other community leaders and servants with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And so I want to just thank you for your service.
What a great work that is, Jonathan. We have certainly the Lord through us has done a good job bringing our leaders in the in ministry, business, and civic areas together, and
we look for a lot more of that.
It's been a blessing, Jonathan.
It has been a blessing, and you know, Dave, I was thinking that we have lost three of our team, Pastor Rick Addison,
yes.
being the most recent pastor of the Grace Place.
Yes, what a blessing Rick was to the body of Christ in our region for many, Amen. Many years. And his legacy will live on.
Amen.
He's done an incredible work over there at the Grace Place.
That seed's not going to quit growing. Of course, Pastor mm-hmm. L.C. Campbell, Chaplain Campbell, a dear friend I know of yours, he also served with us.
Yeah, he was my mentor. He was my upline, Jonathan.
Yeah. And then we had Walter Barron who served
yes.
with us.
Walter was an incredible African-American individual, and Walter never saw color. He just saw hearts, and he was a radiator for the love of Jesus, and a real transformational guy, not only on our board, but in our community, and a main cog in our the prayer group that we've been having with clergy for the last 7 years. He was one of the hubs that was keeping that thing going.
Well, Dave, I'm going to want to bring you back on another day, because I really want to talk about a little bit about your God story and give you an opportunity where we have more time to do that. And we've talked about that a couple times. But this morning in particular, I wanted to just touch base with you because you've been kind of shooting me over some information about Kena. How do you pronounce her last name?
Her last name is Kowser, like Kowsert. K-O-W.
Okay.
And then like Sert, like inserts, S-E-R-T.
Kena Kowser. And, what does she do, and what is this prayer movement about?
Well, about a year ago, October, she went to a meeting that Ken Malone, Dutch Sheets, and Chuck Pierce were doing in Tallahassee, and she just thought it was a prayer meeting. And when she got there, one of the speakers was saying that one of their goals was to unite all 67 counties in prayer. And she said, when he said that, she said, it's like God wouldn't leave me alone. 67 counties in prayer, 67 counties. Well, what the Lord gave her was a strategy or divine download to link up counties with a proclamation for their county and the state, a monthly one, that would go out. And on the second Saturday of the month, they would make these proclamations or declarations over their county and over the state. And Jonathan, she wouldn't put them together, but the Lord told her, I've already got people in these counties that want to participate in something like this. So she calls it, you could actually go online. It's prayerlink, capital FL, like for Florida, @gmail.com. But what that way, Kena can send you out the proclamation. She usually sends them out the week before. We just completed one this Saturday, and she said, I really recommend that you go outside somewhere, because it seems like making these declarations out into the atmosphere is huge, whether you go to a governmental building. My wife and I and Jill Schaefer, we went to a little park over in St. Lucie right on the water. Man, it was powerful, but sometimes people are doing them in their churches. We've got a real good group in St. Lucie County, but we've also got people down your way, Jonathan, that I email them to. Jennifer Kerr is an attorney down there that's on the board at Good Samaritan, and she got one. Chaplain Dave, I'm sending them to all my girlfriends. Jennifer goes to Revive, and we have people at Revive that we send them out to as well. And right now, Jonathan, there are 61 of the 67 counties that are participating in doing this monthly declaration. And Kena makes a big deal about it. She says, listen, whatever we have, every subset of the declaration, I want to see scripture supporting what it is
Amen.
You're asking us to decree and declare.
That's good.
So you'll see they're loaded with the Word of God, so that people can look those scriptures up and let it go a little bit deeper. She said you don't have to just do it that second Saturday, but she thought that's kind of a rallying point for a lot of people to know at this time from 8 to 8:15 on the second Saturday. You've got people from all over the state that are doing this, and it's been pretty powerful. It really has united a lot of our people here in St. Lucie County. A lot of churches, a lot of church members are doing it.
Well, that's pretty awesome, Dave, and I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Once again, her name is Kina, and you said you pronounce it Calcert?
Yeah, Cal and then S-E-R-T.
S-E-R-T.
Yeah, it's actually Dr. Kina Calcert.
Dr. Kina Calcert. She
prefers not to be called doctor, but okay. She has her doctorate, and I guess in the past she's done a lot of organizational work with businesses. She's a very Christ-centered lady, a very humble person. She's going to have a gathering in Gainesville at a retreat center on 9/11 weekend of all these intercessors to come together and see what's been happening in their communities. She also encouraged us. Ken Malone is having a gathering August 19th and 20th for men in Tallahassee. And, you know, Dutch Sheets said that what's going to bring the awakening here in America is when men get together and pray.
Amen. 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 Well, that's quite awesome. Again, that's prayerlink, capital FL, Florida, at gmail.com. Prayerlink, Florida.
That's correct. FL. Yeah, that way Kina will get back with you. She'll make sure if you'd like a proclamation that she'll send it to you. And we're trying to get Jonathan what we would call for lack of a better word, a prayer captain or a link coordinator in every county so that if somebody wanted to talk to somebody that's actually here, we'd
could
also start to get those names.
Okay. Excellent. Now, Dave, you've been a chaplain. You've been involved in ministry for a lot of years, counseling, a lot of different things. But St. Lucie County has really been experiencing some tremendous areas of breakthrough, and are things that you can see, you can document, you can calculate. Could you just, we have
so.
A couple minutes, can you mention a few of those? I know you have a caravan, you have a bunch of things going on, and I think there may be chaplains listening, there may be some of our sheriffs listening today. You might be able to sow some seed and just challenge some other counties to get on board.
Well, what the Lord directed us to do, Jonathan, back in 2015 was to have men in ministry. That's the key for us, is you have to be in ministry. You don't have to be a pastor. We like pastors to come, but the entrance thing is to be in ministry because, you know, Jonathan, our life is a little bit different than the person that goes to church, so we want to create a sanctuary for the men that do come. The Lord said men. We're not saying women don't pray, and in fact they've done a whole lot more praying than most men have, but this group started 7 years ago. And yeah, I know, my wife is an intercessor big time. She's up in the early hours of the morning, and she's actually putting together a woman's group because you've had one for 7 years, Dave, we're gonna have one for women. I said, praise God, I'm gonna go for
amen.
It
amen.
But as a result of the men coming together, you know, Psalm 133 says when the brethren dwell together in unity there's a commanded blessing. In 2015, Fort Pierce was deemed by somebody, I don't know if they had any substance to make that declaration, but they made it that it was the worst city in Florida to live in. And they said in part it was due to the record unemployment, the high crime, and the poor conditions in the schools. Well, in 7 years, Chris Fogle, you know, Chris is on our board. Chris is a CPA, and he's the heads up the Economic Opportunity Council. There has been a tremendous shift economically in our region, but particularly in Fort Pierce. We have had tremendous large businesses move into the area. The downtown port had been vacant for over 25 years. It was sold to a multi-million dollar shipbuilding company out of Fort Lauderdale. One of the pieces of property downtown that had been vacant forever, where the utility authority was, finally was sold to a five-star hotel development group. The crime has gone down, Jonathan. The graduation rate back in 2015 was 42% of the high school seniors graduated. This year it was 99%.
Praise God.
Dr. Donna Mills, a school board member, said that between Martin, St. Lucie, and Indian River, St. Lucie has been given the stamp that they have the highest rating of schools in the region. And I'm telling you, that's is
awesome. That's awesome.
But a lot of work, a lot of people, you know, got his work through all kinds of people. We've had some tremendous miracles in our law enforcement community. Just about 2 months ago, one of our deputies was responding to an accident on Indian River Drive, and Cody was taking the girl who was involved in the accident up a little pier. She was walking up to the land. She had to go down this. And as she's walking up, she turned around and stabbed him, Jonathan, with a 6-inch blade in his jugular vein in his neck. And we're talking about miracles that if it was an inch or two lower, the surgeon said Cody would have died. Wow. And we know that
it's God.
The effective fervent prayers of righteous people accomplish much.
Dave, we got to run. We're running out of time. I've got to have you come back. But because you, God is doing some awesome things in St. Lucie County.
Well, he is, and Jonathan, and we so value 89.9. We go way back, and it's a beacon of light in our region. And praise God, and pray God's blessings and provision for you and your staff.
Thank you, brother. We'll be back in touch soon. God bless.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
God bless.
Take care.
Bye now.
Goodbye. All right, Karen, it's now time for us to reach out to Mr. Jim Harden, and we are going to see if we can get him online. Reverend James Harden, we'll see if we can reach him right now. So you have a moment of wisdom while I'm dialing another number here.
and I'll just follow up with that awesome news about Fort Pierce and all that God is doing up in that area. It's really amazing, you know, when we just do what God has called us to do, each individually, no matter where you are, no matter where you work, what your vocation is, just be who God made you to be and get out there and do something.
Yeah, and let God make a difference through your life,
right?
I mean, God has that plan for all of us.
So, Jim.
Good morning. This is Jonathan. I'm calling from WCNO Christian Radio in Palm City, Florida. We are live. Is this James Harden, Reverend James Harden?
It is. Jonathan, how are you?
I am well. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. When I came across this article, this news information from Truth PR, and I, you know, you may want to promote some of these things while we're on air today because we are speaking into 10 of our highly populated counties here, actually reaching out. Our potential would be to almost 30% of the state of Florida lives within our reach. So we have a pretty big, I like to say we have a big mouth for God here, James. So we're blessed. We're blessed to have you with us on air. And I understand that that you are the CEO of Compass. Is it pronounced Compass Care Pregnancy Services?
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. And this is where? In New York?
Yeah, we have three locations across New York, in Buffalo, Rochester, and in Albany, as well as providing 650 pregnancy centers across the country with materials and strategies to serve women facing unplanned pregnancy.
Awesome. And, you know, I see that you have been involved in some of the groundwork that has strengthened the pro-life movement. I'm not sure what it means when I'm reading about the first measurable, repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement. Tell me what that's about, because I see you have had influence in at least 650 centers nationwide, which is huge.
Well, we are arguably one of the most effective organizations in the country at reaching and serving women seriously considering abortion and helping them have their babies. We were the first ones to create a database that was directly connected with our service process so we can engage real-time continuous improvement with our nursing teams. And we were able to stay on the cutting edge as well, not just with respect to marketing, but also with respect to services so that we can be as relevant as possible without compromising on the mission. So we were able to deliver that to pregnancy centers all across the country, essentially, you know, create a whole new philosophy of ministry for pregnancy centers you know, we're trying to hit a moving target, if you will. The demographic is constantly changing in their expectations as they move through that childbearing window between the ages of 18 and really 35. So, yeah, we're excited to now give pregnancy centers across the country the 21st century tools needed to reach and serve every woman before she travels to an abortion hub state like New York, and before she gets the dangerous chemical drugs sent to her in the mail at her home. We have an opportunity. Since June 24th, we've now, the pregnancy center movement has the ability to compete head-on with the billion-dollar abortion business, and I think that's why they've gone violent.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little, Jim, because, you know, I'm looking at this headline, pro-abortion politicians declare war on Christian pro-life pregnancy centers. And I believe what we're talking about is, you know, there's a strategy of the enemy against life, and it's still well and alive. But how is this directly impacting the work that you do?
Well, we've got to fight a battle now on two fronts. Not only do we have to keep helping women, to keep reaching women in their moment of crisis, but now we've got to try to find a way to protect our ability to exist in the public square. So when we were firebombed on June 7th, by Jane's Revenge, the pro-abortion domestic terrorist group, they claim cells in all 50 states. We were firebombed on June 7th,
Where was this, Jim? Where did this take place?
This took place in our Buffalo medical office.
Buffalo, okay.
In Buffalo, yep. And there have been over 100 attacks against pro-life organizations like pregnancy centers
since the 24th.
Since the leak of the Dobbs case. I'm sorry. And there have been no arrests made. And 6 days after we were firebombed, okay, instead of reaching these trying to find out who these people are that are engaged in this arson attack, New York Governor Hochul signed a bill investigating us, the victims, pro-life organizations. And while she was signing the bill at this press conference, she referred to us as subhuman, as Neanderthals. And who's taking their cues now from Kathy Hochul? Joe Biden signed an executive order on Friday investigating quote unquote the fraudulent practices and encouraging Attorney General Merrick Garland not to investigate the domestic terrorist threats, but to investigate the organizations being attacked. Then you've got New York Times and mainstream media coming out and attacking pregnancy centers. You've got 22 senators and congressmen signed an open letter to Google, demanding that they restrict our ability to market to women seriously considering abortion. And then Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York State, came out with an open letter to Google saying, wipe them off the maps. So this is an all-out attack. Elizabeth Warren even came out saying, we need to shut these crisis pregnancy centers down. So, there's a motto. The motto of the domestic terrorist group, Jane's Revenge, says, if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. And it appears that these pro-abortion politicians have embraced that motto and are looking at pregnancy centers square in the eye saying, if abortion isn't safe, pregnancy center, then neither are you.
Wow. Now, I was not aware of this ultimatum. I was reading about Jane's Revenge giving the pro-life pregnancy centers an ultimatum to basically disband in 30 days or face the consequences. How did that ultimatum get delivered? Tell me a little more about that. We're down here in Florida. I was talking with Sue Chess, who is she is the president of the local CareNet facility here on the Treasure Coast, and does a great job here. And she said that in our state, in our region, at least in the state, though they have spent thousands of dollars to provide additional protection for their facilities and have had guards, etc., she said in a lot of ways in the state of Florida, we have a strong leadership from the governor's office and at least in our counties from the local sheriffs. We have some godly sheriffs. And so there is a strong message that you're not going to get by with that in the state of Florida. So how did they deliver this message that, you know, if you're pro-life, we're coming after you, basically. Either shut it down in 30 days or we're coming.
Yeah, they're using some sort of dark web and a translator through certain websites to communicate to themselves and to the public.
Okay.
Their first communique, and they've had multiple communiques. They call them communiques. And it sounds they're taking the language and their linguistic structure sounds very similar to Marxist terminology. they're anarchists, essentially. They're taking a play out of the playbook of the Communist Manifesto, and they're encouraging people to use violence and bully tactics, scare tactics. My family's even been doxxed. They try to find out where the leadership lives and get people over there. So we had to relocate for a time, my wife and children. So there's a second communique that came out, essentially saying, taking responsibility for the firebombing in Buffalo, for a Buffalo office. And they're saying the next time, it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And they declared, quote unquote, an open season on pregnancy centers. So their whole goal is to shut us down. The whole goal of these pro-life politicians is to shut us down and wipe us off the maps. Change Revenge wants to wipe us off the earth, and these politicians want to wipe us off the map and cause us not to be able to reach and serve women. This is not an attack on pregnancy centers. This is an attack on women who are in crisis and need true choice. Women, when they face an unplanned pregnancy, they say, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no other choice. I need to have an abortion. And our job as a community is to come alongside of her and give her all the support, all the ethical medical care, all the resources that she needs in order to see her way clear to having the baby and make the most difficult choice, and empower her. Empower her to say no to abortion, because she doesn't have the ability right now, she doesn't believe she does, to say no to abortion. And that's what they want to shut down. They want to shut down choice. They're all about abortion. They're not about women's health. They're not about increasing access to women's care. Nothing like that. It's only abortion that they're interested in.
Okay. You are on the front line, and maybe some would question why I would even ask you this, but there's a reason that God raises people up to take a stand. And I would just ask you, why do you do what you do? How did this become a personal mission for you? Obviously, you could have done many other things. Your family is in a place of being threatened. That's not an enjoyable place to be. I remember when we had bomb threats and had the crews coming through looking for bombs, and had people following and phone call threats around the clock. That is not a place where anyone wants to be. You don't want to put your family in that place. Why do you do what you do?
That's a good question, and I have an answer. I believe in destiny. I think as believers, we all believe that God is good and he has a plan for our lives. I was born in the hospital my father ran to a mother who was a Planned Parenthood volunteer with an abortion-causing contraceptive device wrapped around my wrist at the hands of a renowned abortionist named Neville Sender. I didn't know that until I accepted a position at Compass Care in 2001. And at that point, my mother told me that information. And I it took a while for me to process that. But the Lord has plans. But the primary reason why I took the job at Compass Care and why I'm so passionately pro-life, because I believe every single human being on the face of the earth needs to be passionately pro-life, is because there's only two things in this world that are sacred, and it's God and people. And, the Bible says that we're all made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love, as the Bible describes it in James, is partiality. Me playing God, getting to decide who qualifies for my favor and who does not. Mm. Who qualifies as a person under the law and who does not. And we don't get to play God. Everybody is inviolable, not to be violated, both the mother and the child, because we're made in his image. That's the basic root of human dignity. And if you extract God from the equation, chaos and systemic injustice is the result. And that's what we've had since 1973. And we've got an opportunity now. We've got an opportunity to raise the level of conversation and around the nature of what it means to be human under God, because abortion represents abandonment and a fundamental misunderstanding of what it means to be human. And so let's talk about it. Let's have these discussions now. And we're able to do that even right now. This is a great result of the Dobbs case coming out on June 24th.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about up to, I guess you said, about 100 facilities that have had some kind of an attack, and we know that this is it's spiritual, but it's also in the natural. This is a spiritual war that's manifesting in the natural, and it's taking lives, but it's in the natural very much so. So how do the righteous respond differently? I mean, this is not just a discussion of two different opinions. We're dealing with life and death. We're dealing with right and wrong. We're dealing with God and good, and Satan and evil. How do the righteous respond differently than evil? Because so many times we are called as the ones who are stirring up the trouble.
Yes. Well, Jesus said we were going to be lied about. He said that they're going to say all kinds of evil about us falsely, because we are his, and we are his. And I just was reading yesterday in 1 Peter chapter 3 specifically about the answer to that question. And do you mind if I read a couple of verses really quickly?
No, I don't. No, go ahead.
It says, who is there to harm you in 1 Peter 3? Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. That's how we do it.
Amen.
Gently, reverently. We're not going to engage in the tools of the enemy. We're going to use the tools that God has given us. We're going to walk in his ways. We're going to use the armor of the Lord and put on the breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation, and we're going to walk humbly with our God, but we're not going to give up, and we're not going to give in. This is God's calling, and we're only to fear him and him alone. He is our provider. He is our protector, and we're supposed to represent his heavenly kingdom in this fallen and dark world right now. We shouldn't expect to be protected by the enemy. We should expect to be fought against, but we're not going to fight using the same tools and terms.
Amen. Amen. Well, I looked upon this victory as being huge. The Sunday morning I spoke to this, I could only share what I sensed in some small way. 49 years of darkness had been shoved back, which is pretty significant. But I know, talking with local leaders, that there is a lot of work to be done to protect the life of children. Tell us about that. What's yet ahead of us?
Well, so abortion didn't go away, as everybody knows. Abortion didn't go away on June 24th. It simply moved to abortion hub states like New York and California. And the abortion battle lines have shifted. And what happened on June 24th is thousands, when Dobbs came out, thousands of abortion appointments were canceled. And we praise God for that. But what that also means is the abortion industry changed their business model overnight. It was similar to what would happen if the government went to the Ford Motor Company and said, hey, you can't have dealerships in 30 states anymore tomorrow. And that would be devastating for their business model. They'd have to move to a hub-and-spoke business model where people would have to travel to the states that have the dealerships to buy their cars. And so that's the same thing. That's happening in the abortion industry. Billion-dollar abortion industry now has to have women travel to these other states to get their abortions, or send the dangerous chemical abortion drugs to them in the mail at their homes. Chemical abortion now presents over 50% of all abortions in America and is 400% more dangerous than surgical. It's being touted as safer than Tylenol by these abortionists. They're perpetrating a massive consumer fraud right now and victimizing women. And the pro-abortion politicians are complicit in that. But here's the thing. We've got an opportunity, as I mentioned earlier. The pregnancy center movement across this country still has all their operations in all 50 states. All they need to do now is get the 21st century tools in their hands to be able to reach and serve these women before they travel and before they get the dangerous chemical abortion drugs sent to them in the mail. We now have an opportunity to reach and serve every woman in America seriously considering abortion. It is absolutely astounding. And there's an existential threat to the abortion industry.
James, did we lose you? Can you still hear us?
Yeah, I can still hear you. Did I lose you?
Yeah, we cut out there just for a moment.
No, but
you're back and you're clear. And you know, I know that we can't say with any absolute certainty who is moving this direction, but when I are making these decisions, but when you talk about 70 to 100, and I guess now it's up to 100 incidents, and is it still the case that the FBI has not arrested anyone yet?
Yeah, yes, that is still the case. The Department of Justice is not investigating. The FBI has made zero arrests. In fact, I don't think any law enforcement agency has made an arrest with anybody. There have been no public comments made, no press conferences by law enforcement. And oddly and curiously, instead of investigating these attacks as domestic terror or even investigating them at all, Biden is encouraging Merrick Garland, Attorney General, to investigate pregnancy centers. It's a dystopian, surreal environment we're living in right now.
Wow. So how are you all recovering after being firebombed?
Well, you know, they intended to shut us down. That was their goal. That was their ultimatum. But we didn't. We kept serving patients. Even the day of the firebombing, we were able to serve a patient in an emergency situation. We had to reroute her to our Rochester office, but we were able to see her and save her baby. And she submitted her life to Christ. It was a twofold win for a wonderful time. And the generosity of the people of God in Buffalo had gave us three different options to move our services to an alternate location the very next day. So we were up and running in an alternate location the very next day, and we're still serving patients in that alternate location as we repair the major damage done to our primary facility.
Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. That you're able to continue on with the work. Well, you are speaking to, of course, a lot of us here in the state of Florida. Tell us how we should be praying, how the church should be praying, and how we should be and how we can be actively involved, not just here on a local level, but maybe have some national impact as well.
Yes. Well, there's so much people can pray about. I say, number one, pray for the protection and safety of these pro-life organizations so that they can continue to do their work. Pray for their wisdom. Pray for creativity. Pray for endurance. Pray for courage. And pray that the Lord is with us. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for somebody that he might strongly support, whose hearts are completely his. And pray that our hearts are completely his. And not divided. So that's a prayer for that I would ask people to pray for. I would also say people should serve. They should get involved. They should hold their legislators and attorney generals and governors accountable and ask them if what they're doing to allocate resources to equally protect all their citizens, including the ones that perhaps might disagree with them ideologically, like Christian pro-lifers. And then I would say communicate. We're not going to see abortion go away until we raise the level of conversation in our country about what it means to be human under God. You know, we have to help people understand that we're not pro-life because of an opinion. We're pro-life because this is the foundation of civilized order. So raising the level of conversation about that, deepening our pro-life convictions, and helping people understand that our authority is God, not man, and not our own appetites. And then finally, I'd say if people want to get involved and they have the ability, they should give. They should give to their local pregnancy center. They should give to efforts like what's going on at Compass Care to give these pregnancy centers the 21st century tools to reach and serve every single woman in America seriously considering abortion. And then I think we've got a real chance at eliminating abortion in America for good.
I want to ask you something before... we close. First of all, I'm going to ask that you kind of close our time in prayer as we just pray over this issue and call all of our listeners to join. But before that, how does this this horrible crime of abortion, how does this impact the value of life, whether you're young, you're old, you're disabled, you're some people go, well, you know, my children are raised, this isn't my battle, it's not something that that affects me or impacts me. How does this impact all of us?
That's a really good question, Jonathan. I would say that abortion does impact us all, because it gets at what the heart of what it means to be human. We are tasked with being the Good Samaritan. God makes us radically responsible for our neighbor, and the reason for that is because we're made in His image, and the human blood ought not to be shed in any form, in any way whatsoever. And it's a slippery slope. If we allow the denigration and dehumanization of category of human, or even just one human, it dehumanizes us all. Mm-hmm. What did Martin Luther King Jr. say? Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Well, what is justice but a commonly held understanding about the value of human life? It's how we ought to behave toward one another. That's the basis of a justice system. And if we extract that, if we extract the notion that we're made in the image of God, we've got no basis for a common justice system anymore. So the devaluation of human life is something we have to be vigilantly aware of. It's our culture is constantly trying to de-Christianize and devalue human life, and it's being done on so many different levels right now. And only the citizens of America, only Christians, can lead the charge. And God is handing us our prophetic voice back. He's saying, okay, now tell everybody why it's important to value all human life all the time, everywhere. Now it's time to be the prophetic presence, be the hands and feet of Christ, and show them what it means to be radically responsible for your neighbor, for a woman who seriously thinks that abortion is her only way out. We have to, you know, Jesus is our Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who said, who kind of said and came down from heaven and gave us all of His resources and His standing, His righteousness, and died for us and gave us our lives back on this dangerous Jericho road of culture. And He said, now what? Don't go spend it on yourself. Go and do likewise, like the Good Samaritan. And that's, you know, interestingly enough, the question that the lawyer asked Jesus was, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Wishing to justify his poor behavior. Same kind of question was asked in 1973 with Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Who's a person? And their answer was, the word person does not apply to the unborn. And there began the greatest injustice the world has ever seen. But Dobbs, on June 24th, gave us another chance.
Amen. Amen.
So let's take the chance. Let's take this opportunity.
In this last minute, would you lead us in prayer? And thank you so much for joining us today.
I'd be happy to. Thank you very much. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful that the cross is violence to end all violence. We are so grateful that the cross is the epicenter of the universe. We are so grateful that the cross is the moment where you took the greatest injustice the world has ever seen and turned it on its head and made it the fountain of all blessing. Lord, we are grateful that the cross is the merger of perfect justice and perfect mercy poured out to everyone. We thank you, Lord, that we can hide in the shadow of your cross, Lord. And I pray that this moment, this new chapter in America would raise people's awareness around what it means to be human and the value that you place on human life, that you place. You raise the level of human life beyond our comprehension by dying for us.
Amen.
And by even becoming a human. We are so grateful, Lord, for who you are and what you have done for us. I pray that you would reveal yourself to our nation and to every single person and bring us into a more humane place as a nation where we're pro-life through and through from the womb to the tomb. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Reverend James Harden, for joining us today. We thank you so much for the work that you do. And we're going to be lifting you up in prayer. Anything of relevance down the road, we're going to be watching and listening. And we'll look forward to another opportunity where we can join with you. God bless you and keep you and your team and all who serve in the kingdom safe.
Amen. God bless you too.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today on Wednesday Live and invite you to join us next Wednesday. Same